Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. And, you know, I got to
say this before I read this text here. You know, I just love Wednesdays. I something about meeting Wednesdays evening. To me, there's just something special about it. You know, it's just middle of the week many times, even before I was a preacher. Right? I did a lot of years going to church before I even thought about being a preacher. You know, there's just something about Wednesdays that I really like and appreciate. You know, just middle of the week, you start thinking about God and His Word and your brethren. It's just that good reminder in the middle of the week of who we are and our purpose, right? And so, you know, hopefully you're like that, and that's your mindset. You know, and I would imagine that it is, or I don't think you'd be here, right? And so there's just something different usually about a Wednesday crowd that meets for Bible study. Now, in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Now, someday when we do a Romans class, you're going to hear me say, I believe verses 1 and 2 go with the previous thought. And it's a summary of chapters 1 through 11 all the way up. It's a summary statement. Because Romans chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, is all about the first greatest commandment. And loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Good way to remember it. And then from verse 3 to the end of the book, there at the end of chapter 16, it's all about the second greatest commandment. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. Matter of fact, even here in chapter 12, he's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about the second greatest commandment. And so what I want you to think about is he begins in chapter 12, verse 1. Remember, man, we added in the chapter breaks here. There's this urging, there's this beseeching of the brethren. Right, we're being urged, you know. And you think about why is it that brethren always have to be urged and beseeched sometimes to remember some things, right? And most of us very familiar with what he says here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, think about that phrase there, reasonable service. Reasonable, the Greek word is logotos. Another way to translate that word would even be rational. Right? And then the word service there is the Greek word latreo. Many times it's translated as worship. Was it the NIV, I think, might have said spiritual worship? I can't remember. But anyways, he's talking about, you know, logical service or logical worship. You know, it's reasonable. It's very logical. And then, so what's reasonable? What's logical, Paul? You know, don't be conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, when he begins that statement there in verse 1, when he says, therefore, or, you know, I urge you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's drawing our mind back. Here's what I want you to think about it. Read this, and I want to mention something, then the lesson's yours. I want you to notice how chapter 11 ends and really think about this. He's going to quote Isaiah 40 here. He's going to quote Job 40 here. You know, some people would call this a doxology. Anyways, he says in verse 33, oh, the depth and the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Now, why is he saying that? Well, everything leading up to this, let me tell you about the gospel. Let me tell you about your sin problem, Jew and Gentile. Right? Let me show you the love of God. Let me show you the mercy of God, how he extends salvation to Jew and Gentile alike. So, oh, the depth and the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. So it's that idea here of drawing our minds back to who God is. It's drawing our minds back to what we have in Christ. And when you can see who God is and you can start to understand what he offers us in Christ, you know, even though he's so great and he's so, you know, so wonderful, so powerful, so majestic, and we got the sin, even though those things are true, there's such a difference between us and God, he allows us to be saved. So I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you live a very particular way. You present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And this is logical worship. This is reasonable service. So therefore, it shouldn't be an issue that I'm not going to conform myself to the world, that I'm going to start to change the way that I think, and I'm going to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So I just wanted you to think about that with this right here and commend you. We're talking about commending the brethren in 3 John in our class. Commend you for being here. I think it really goes to show that you have the right mindset, right? That you're wanting to be pleasing to God with your presence. You're wanting to grow in your faith and learn more about God's word, because you have that understanding who God is and what you've been saved from. So I'd like to say keep it up, and I commend you for that determination to be here this evening. We offer the Lord's invitation for anyone that's subject to it. If you need to be immersed into Christ, we can do that this evening. If you need to come home, bring something before the brethren, we can pray for you and pray with you. If you have a need this evening spiritually, let someone know, please, as we stand, as we sing.